It was 3 years ago when we learned contaminated injections caused a nationwide outbreak of fungal meningitis. 64 people died. Hundreds of people are suffering from the aftermath of illnesses caused by the injections. Michigan was the hardest hit state. 23 people died in Michigan because of those contaminated injections. The source was a compound pharmacy in Massachusetts, the New England Compounding Center. As the story unfolded, we found out the regulations for these compounding pharmacies varied across the country because the states have oversight. Joining me now is Elizabeth Youngman with the Pew Charitable Trust. Pew put together an advisory committee of state regulators and experts to try to determine a best practices approach. So, Elizabeth, first, I think a lot of people were surprised that the Food and Drug Administration or some other federal agency didn't have direct oversight of drugs being manufactured and shipped across the country. Why isn't the federal government's role more involved?
Well, this has evolved over time. Pharmaceutical compounding, which is the practice of allowing doctors to order specialized medicines for patients whose needs really can't be met by FDA-approved products, that's a practice that has existed for as long as pharmacy has existed. But it really has evolved over time. And, you know, it's only been in recent decades that it's grown to the scale that was associated, for example, with the fungal meningitis outbreak that you mentioned. And for a long time, the regulatory and legal situation governing that practice was really unclear. So it was really this 2013 law that was passed at the federal level that helped bring clarity to oversight, and that has that's really kind of allowed both FDA and the states to move forward with their enforcement.
I don't want to get too far into the technical aspect, mm-hmm. but what are some of the best practices advice that came out of the advisory committee that Pew put together to make sure drugs from these compounding facilities are safe?
There were a number of best practices that the advisory committee identified. Some important ones there were it's important to have quality standards to help protect patients by reducing the risk of contaminations of products that need to be sterile. It's also important to have inspections to make sure that pharmacies are adhering to those quality standards. It's also important to ensure that traditional pharmacies who are compounding in a way that is overseen by state inspectors are receiving patient-specific prescriptions because that's really the dividing line between that traditional pharmacy practice that's regulated by the states and larger scale compounding that the federal government oversees.
Now, there are 1,581 Michigan pharmacies that are identified as listing compounding functions as part of what they do. That's more than half the pharmacies in the state, but zero identified as performing sterile compounding. Now, would you explain the difference to us?
So sterile compounding is compounding of substances that really need to be kept sterile. So here we're talking about injections, we're talking about infusions. Those present particular patient safety risks if contamination were to occur.
And that's what the New England Compounding Center was?
That's correct.
Okay. And what's the other kind of compounding? Is it just mixing drugs so it's more convenient in one pill or something like that?
Well, there's a wide range of compounding practices. So, for example, you might see adding a flavoring to a product. You might see taking a product that's in one dosage form and transferring it to another dosage form. So, for example, if you have a child that needs a medication that's currently only available in pill form, a compounder might be able to help transfer that into a liquid form that the child would be able to take.
Okay, I get that. So what's the next step in implementing the recommendations that your advisory commission has made?
Well, I think that what we see is that there's a lot of variation in states right now. It's a really transitional time for states. And so our report suggests that states should continue to examine policies on compounding to ensure that they require adherence to recognized quality standards and that they have sufficient oversight systems to enforce those standards.
This was a hard lesson to learn. I mean, the cost to Michigan citizens alone and the hundreds of others in the nation, it was horrific. Why did it take an event like this where so many people died to get greater attention to this issue?
That's a good question. Some of that is related to the history of this issue, that it has long been a traditional pharmacy practice. And it's something that this industry grew up over time. It didn't have, this wasn't something that just all of a sudden happened, but it grew up over time in an area of the law that was traditionally state regulated. And so it just, you know, it took something, a major event to really highlight the fact that the quality standards that are appropriate for traditional compounders may not be appropriate for compounding at a larger scale.
Elizabeth Youngman is with the Pew Charitable Trust. We've been talking about a pair of reports, the National Assessment of State Oversight oversight of sterile drug compounding and best practices for state oversight of drug compounding. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.